Hi and welcome back to another episode of Reskilling Podcast. Today we are going to talk about some really important stuff that is required for this business world. And where are you laughing now? I think these are the topics that generally go, you know, very corrupt with all media telling a lot of stuff and confusing the general populace. So today we were talking about how, you know, the entire world being controlled by baby boomers and, you know, their decisions having a very big impact in, you know, every single step of our lives. So we will start with talking about who baby boomers are, and, you know, and we have this recent meme called, you know, okay boomer, or, you know, boomer uncle and stuff like that. But people don't know what that, you know, word actually means, because like when I was talking to certain people, they felt like people who have progressive, you know, primitive thoughts are called boomers. But the actual boomer arrived from a certain term. So I want you to, you know, kickstart with that. So
when you said primitive thoughts, okay, the idea of a boomer is a person with primitive thoughts. I think that sums it up all, the word primitive.
Right.
So basically, someone who was they born. Were more primitive than, so if I was a boomer now, I should basically accept that I am a boomer and act accordingly.
Right.
First, who is a boomer? According to the dictionaries or according to how we are going to segment them, is a person who is, as of now, in the age of 45 and above, till their late 60s, we would call them baby boomers. And this, we are taking it as a global phenomena across the globe, that is, all capitalistic countries, we are looking at a similar kind of thought behavior, thought process, and the way how they execute things also.
Right.
So this is what a boomer is. It's not primitive thoughts. They are primitive people compared to the next generation of people. So that's it. They are the boomers. Boom, boom. Boomers.
So boomers is not actually an ideology or a concept. It's people addressing older people for their, you know, thoughts that are not aligning with the current trends and whatsoever. So baby boomers have had a different generation of population would have had the same thoughts, like before TV and everything, they would have thought like we were playing outside and you are in TV, and right now it's like you are playing with mobiles, we used to have TV, and after that they'll have hologram and we'll say like we had just mobiles and everything. So that's how the concept of a baby boomer was segregated in terms of what year they were born. And they were typically born between 1946 to 1964. And what do they do in the society as of now in leadership positions? What do you think they are doing currently, and what are the primary decisions that they are making that is affecting the current generation? So,
let's start from the home.
Right.
So
yeah. Basically, the most important part.
We can start from the smallest level and then, you know, build our pyramid above. So in every home, we all know it is always the head of the family is a boomer right now. In most of the, you know, rather than other than in a micro family situation, if it is a macro family or if it is a joint family.
Yes.
The decision, even in certain micro families, the inheritance, the role of inheritance, how the wealth inheritance is still being decided by the boomer. So basically the boomer is right now would be, if the person is of my age, 30, 35, it is going to be your father who is right now crossing his 50s or entering his early 60s. So they are the people who are there holding up all the wealth and taking decisions of the wealth. So this is just a small example for all of us to understand what a boomer is and how they act when it comes to wealth. This is the same in industries, in corporates. So it is all these people are holding these top positions.
Right.
And they are controlling a lot of wealth. And
is it like above 80% the wealth that they hold?
I think it is. The amount of wealth that they hold, 99.9% of the wealth, global wealth, is being controlled. 99.9999, how much ever nine you want, you can put into it, is being controlled by these boomers. And it is, you know, it is very wrong. Basically, it is one of the main reasons why we are seeing all this scarcity, we are seeing depletement of resources and whatever, whatnot, the problem that we see in the society. This is one of the biggest reasons.
So there's an imbalance between the amount of money that they...
Because the way how they think, when we you started the primitive thoughts, their thoughts do not align with the current day problems that we are facing.
Right.
You are facing. What the next generation is going to face. Their thoughts are aligned to what their generation was facing.
Right.
And their execution is also like that. So it is going to break the balance very soon. It is better that all these people, you know, start opening their eyes and get into action mode, or else it is going to be very, very tough for all of us.
Right.
Because, you know, when you're going to have a society that is not happy, your business is not going to be happy.
Right.
When you're not going to have, because the society is now us, the world, the majority is going to be the youths. And if we are not happy, we are the people who are going to be generating more resources, generating more jobs, generating new ideas, generating new technologies. If this population is not fed properly, then there is not going to be any sustainability. You are going to see economic downfalls. You are going to see recession after recession,
right.
Outbreak after outbreak, health problem after health problem. Everything is going to be not in balance.
Right. It's going to be an imbalance situation for a lot of people involved in the equation.
And boomers are going to be part of this equation, the shortest duration of time.
Right.
They are at the
but
end.
They have the most impact.
They have the most impact in their decisions.
Right. So, for example, like when we talk about, you know, our direct incidents with boomers, is it like with our parents and, you know, their adoption to technology and everything. So, and we grew up in a world where we slowly progressed from a mobile phone that was like hard to touch, and then we came to a keyboard kind of touch, and we came to a touch phone. But whenever it is me explaining something to my parents or my uncles or aunties, it's like very hard for them to grasp the concept. And even when they grasp it, their ability to redo it the next time without assistance becomes very difficult for them. But in a, this is like the basic incidents that we have with them on a day-to-day basis. But the business scenario where a lot of people's, you know, jobs are at stake, and a company, you know, resists in adopting a new technology, which is like making a lot of people do a lot of work, or, you know, do a lot of process that is like not systemized or not organized altogether. What do you think is the biggest problem that boomers will have in terms of adapting to new technologies? Is it like the fear that they have, that they have been holding up for like 50 to 60 years? Or is it like, oh, okay, I'm content with this. I just want to, you know, keep doing this over and over again. Because like, since you say it is like 99.9%, like, do they all exhibit the same behavior? Because like, the dynamicity of people's intentions can differ from culture to culture, but why is it like very common across all the audiences and demographics?
Then you said two. One is being content, and the other is fear of change.
Change.
I think it is the mix of both.
Right.
You are either content and you do not want to, you know, I have done my part in this world. But now if I am going to leave this stage, because we all know that, you know, we are all living in the world stage. And
they have also completed their life around 80%.
Yes, it is like, you know, Rajinikanth still doing superstar movies.
Right.
You know, not letting the next guys come in. But, you know, it is the same thing. And these guys do not want to. It is, you know, they will lose their identity.
They don't have to also.
They don't have to. But
First of all.
But if they have to, it is an ethical decision is doing it. If an individual has an ethical decision, it is always good to, you know, step down at the right time and let the progress happen by itself. You know, you have to do your part. So once they step down, they lose their identity. Mm-hmm. They lose their purpose. And then it is very hard because, you know, at that age, you know, you're tired, you're weak, your priorities are more into
focusing,
finding new things,
right,
are much less. So it is a big, you know, identity crisis that they will face So that is one reason why they don't step down also. And this is content being content, and fear of change is another big part, you know, because, you know, you are a top executive in a company, you are at, you know, the stage of your retirement, and bringing in change now will corrupt your entire brand value that you have built
immediately
if
not done
change
properly.
Is not done properly,
right?
So there is this fear. It's not fear of change, it is fear of losing your identity,
right?
Fear of losing what you have
validation
built,
also, and the reputation,
your credibility that right. you have built for so long. So that fear inhibits them from doing the right thing, basically. From doing the right thing, the fear stops them.
Right. And it also works in a way where it's like a, you know, a product life cycle. So they've had their entire saturation point, and at one point they're not, you know, okay with, you know, trying new things, or they don't have to try anything because they've done literally 80% of the things. But when a new person who's not in the same generation as that specific person comes into the thing, and they'll, oh, this is what it should be done, this is what should be done. But that person is like, no, I've done everything, and I've reached a point where I don't have to really put in efforts or anything. So then it becomes a, you know, information clash between all these people. And that is why I think a lot of internal politics also happen. And because, like, my owner is not, you know, changing to technology, this company could have been so much better with that. So I think right now, baby boomers' sons, or, you know, their inherited people who are coming into the plan, can have a very, you know, coercive decision-making process rather than an employee saying this is wrong, right? Do you think, I can also agree with the fact that clashes happen between fathers and, you know, sons and mothers and daughters, and they also can have a coercive decision where they are like in a good relationship. So do you think these businesses will form a new dynamic range where these people will coherently act together?
It is based on, like, you know, all when these boomers are ready to step down.
Right.
Because in any organization, if one decision is being taken by two heads,
that's problematic. It's problematic.
It is problematic. So it is, if it is a family business, if it is a father and son, if it is not a corporate, and if there is no succession planning, if it is a family business and it is to deal with a son and a father, or a father and daughter, and if both of them are together coming to consensus through positive conflicts into this decision, it is good.
Right.
But then if you are going to have a bullying kind of
aggressive,
or, you know, it can be the other way around also, you know, not always we are going to be guiding the boomers into technology also. We can also feel content. Yeah, I'm happy with what I'm getting, what my father's business is making. We can also
I'm just fitting in.
We can also just fit in and be a part of it. So it's, I think, you know, three or four different probabilities that can work out. Yeah, I think that's it. That's how the whole picture, I think, other than that.
And the percentage of people who are fitting in and the percentage of people who resist, is it in equal balances? I don't think they are in equal balances, right? Because, like, we've known a lot of people who do business from, like, father and son. And I agree, like, I would believe, like, you and your father have a lot of conflicts in decision making. And I would have a lot of differences with my father, but he does not run a business. But some of my friends who also own business will always complain, my dad is not letting me do it. You know, my dad is, you know, resisting to change. All these points that we lay down in this video are actually done by people in real life also.
Correct.
So, but these are businesses that are, like, very small scale, you know, like in a city or in a state. But coming from businesses that are, like, too big to, you know, even fall, you know, like companies like Disney or companies like Marvel or companies like Tata, Tonto, like Infosys. Do you think it will change a way where these new people are not progressing enough that the company should actually be progressing in?
A lot of companies throughout history have lost in the race because of not adapting to new technologies.
Right.
Or not adapting to the right technology, you know.
At the right time.
At the right time, you know. You might sometimes be late, you might sometimes be too early. And most of the time, the companies that grow are the companies that are formed by the youths of that generation who embraces the new technology that is going to come. So they just wipe out the existing giants, the unfollowable businesses
that we, basically.
We talked about. So, you know, today we call them startups. Previously, we were calling them small and medium businesses. So the names just change, but the actions and the results are going to be the same. So change is inevitable. You cannot stop change, whether whatever the size of company you are, whatever on a personal level you are, but change is inevitable. But, it is good if you embrace the change. For boomers, it is very hard. Like as we said, to embrace the change is going to be very hard. He said the politics that happens within the organizations. Not just companies have these issues. Even politically, we are having this issue across the globe because of boomers sitting on top.
Right.
Politically, we are having this issue because of boomers sitting on top.
Right. And there is no way that the ceiling can be broken, right, as of now. There is no equal penetration of,
Correct.
Is there any country that has tried, blending? Do you have, because like I've never read a place where like,
I think the first time, I'm understanding this concept that there is a ceiling, glass ceiling
that men and women go through.
Men and women go through. No, we have a glass ceiling because of
generation gap.
Generation gap. The first time I'm able to process that thought.
I got this idea. I saw this when I watched this movie, Aayudhayazhuthu. So all these youngsters trying to get in the parliament. So then I realized, nobody in the parliament is,
young.
Less of. And one of the, core ideologies of any new parties that come up, like Makkal Nidhi Mayam or, something that is new, like Seeman's, what is it? Naam Tamilar Katchi. And they are like propelled by, young people who, start off. But they are not,
But still the head figure is a boomer.
Right.
And the end, the propulsion, even in all these, old political parties, all any organization, the propulsion, the fuel, the energy
is from young
the younger people.
But the leading the cart would be...
The leader is the boomer. I think companies, to have a sustainable future as human race, companies, political parties, like how we had, people are fighting for, women are now fighting for women rights, we should start thinking in a way that, every circle of power should have people of all ages having the same authority of decision making.
Right.
I think,
or even put into a factor where they can have a say in what are the decisions being made. Not entirely make the decision, but have an opinion put together saying like, do you think something like this can,
Today we are educated, today we are educated. The previous generation, I don't think, some generations
was like us,
back,
was not like
it
us,
was not as educated as us. The consciousness level inside them was, not this much. If today we have just, risen up with this question, I think a lot of people are going to, thinking about the same question. And if all these people start asking, then there is this change happening. And this is one big solution to all the problems that we are actually facing right now. Whatever problem may be, global warming, recession, whatever it is. Thank you. Whatever it is, I think this can be a very big,
this is,
because I know how adding women into, has brought a lot of benefits into, wherever the inclusivity had come in, wherever that circle had been from just being men. And once, having women also into those areas, there has been more inclusive. Next is, we should start filling up the gender gap that is here. And once this is filled, we will see a huge change because, not all boomers are thinking the same.
Right.
There are some boomers
who have
think for the next generation who want to do something.
No, that is why they build the business. That is how they build the business, basically.
And now they do not have access to these technologies.
Right.
And now if they have these people within their first circle of decision making, it is going to be a huge, societal change that can happen across.
No, I was reading up upon, you know, how Anirudh Ravichandran makes music. And what is his always is, I'll always have people who are 16 and 17 in my troupe. To just to understand what kind of music they are understanding and what kind of music they are enjoying. So, because since I'm, my audience is going to be predominantly 18, 19, 20s, I should be able to know what their future is going to be so that I can make music in that mind. So, we might know a lot of companies who, you know, work in such a way that they acquire startups. Like,
correct,
if you
correct.
Like think of companies as an aged company and a company that is like 2 year old. I think Apple recently came with a product called Apple Pay. So they had this concept of pay later, where you can just pay as a loan. So they acquired a company which is called Credit & Co or something like that. It's a banking and financing company. And they acquired it and they embraced this same and, you know, made it into a product itself. So I think in the leadership positions also, there can be a person who will say like we want to know what these other people are thinking or like what the next generation of
corporation think. All these giant companies, you know, all these giant companies, they have understood this, but the purpose or the reason that they use it is not
the
exact right reason, you know, right. They want to still, I think that is the boomeric idea that they right. have in their head is monopolization.
Right.
Is to, you know, my organization is big. I have an, if I lose, I lose my identity. But, you know, once you're too big, you should know, you know, you should not become too big. Too big is never too good.
Right.
Too big of anything is never too good. It is not good for the organization. It's not good for the society. You know, what you said is absolutely right. Apple, but that is one reason why these companies are still
on the top.
Surviving.
Right.
Still
surviving. Yeah.
Survive. It's not being on top. They have always been on top for a long time. So now it is about surviving on the top. Just being. It is how
it's like motion of 3 or 4 or 5.
It is how I'm going to survive in the top 1%.
Right.
If I lose that 1%, I'm no longer in the game. You know, I become, my identity is lost.
Right.
It becomes like, you know, we don't talk about Yahoo. We don't talk about, you know, the companies that were
MySpace, Orkut or whatever.
Yeah, whatever the big companies that were there. You know, these guys did not want to leave their relevancy out. So right. they start acquiring all these smaller companies.
Right. And one of the things that it is always put up by all these people from media is like, these boomers, people who have the highest position in the companies, do not care about the environmental impact or they do not care about the, you know, cultural changes or anything that is going to directly affect the next generation population. And the Gen Z that is coming in is like coming with a lot of, you know, aggression towards like focusing on the climate and, you know, working for their, their time at work, work-life balance and a lot of things like that. But these boomers who have made these decisions would not have worked like that. So that is why they might feel like this is something that is
very
too liberal and we are like not letting them, you know, take the entire process for them. So I think the generation that these people are growing up are making them do so and not their personal mindset. And the society plays a huge part in, you know, making that decision for them. And because like we used to ride in cycles, we used to walk a lot. But right now when you have a bike, when you're 15, even if you had a bike, you would have, you know, driven the bike. Just because we had a cycle, we were able to do that.
Ride the cycle.
Right? So it is not generally how the mindset is, but how we grew up and what the economic status allowed us to do. So I kind of, you know, agree with both of the generation. But do you think there will be a time where all these people will come together and, you know, find a common ground to progress forward and, you know, take the companies together to a
better future? We have to do it very fast. I think the time is the time is right now. I think it has to start now. Now it is being forced upon them.
Right.
It is not a mutual decision by both the parties. It is not a, what do you say? The word, exact word.
It's not a major
compliment. It's not
symbiotic.
It is not symbiotic. The relationship is not symbiotic now. Now, that is why we are seeing all these protests across the globe. You know, people coming, young people coming, shouting, you know, police, cops hitting, all these things. I think it is because of this. The relationship is not symbiotic. But why this push? This push will become symbiotic very soon because we are having a very, very, very finite market now.
Right.
The market has become very finite because it was depleted and it was not replenished.
Right.
The boomers have, you know, just
repeated all the resources,
accumulated it over there. So to make this market rotate again, they spin the wheel again. You have to include me into your big organization in the top post.
Right.
So that is the one way to bring in everything down. But what these political parties are currently now, you know, are the Indian politics, what they are, you know, they are trying to do it with, you know, not as a voluntary method. They want to do it as, you know, enforcing power.
Right, right. Authoritatively.
I am giving it to you.
Right.
You know.
It's not come, let's go. It's like, it's not, yeah, I'm telling you come.
But you know, if right. I don't come, we are all going to fall.
Right.
It is not just I am going to fall. We are all going to fall.
Right.
So, but that idea is not yet there inside everyone. You know, it is not a mistake that, you know, the boomers did. You know, now the way how we are talking is we are telling, you know, it is a mistake that they are taking. It is not a mistake. It is how they were trained.
Right, right.
It is how they were processed. It is what they, as you said, their environment and the, made them into or molded them into. It's not a mistake. But, you know, changes are.
Changes should happen, and changes we always say happen, like changes are good.
It'll be good, you know, if it happens without so much of violence, so much right. of killing. It happens, this this transition happens. But I think we have already spoken.
Yeah, yeah, we've dived into every revolution ever there is.
Every revolution has to go through a destruction. Every revolution has to go through a destruction. And this is.
And that is one of the processes that changes always have, right?
You have to construct something new, you have to destroy what was there before,
right, right.
Only then.
Even if it's in culture, even if it's in emotion, even if
everything.
Yeah. So, yeah, Ram, I think this topic was like pretty hectic, you know, in
sorry,
terms
boss.
Of. And we didn't want to name any names to this topic because it's not any, you know, specific people's, you know, issues, but it is a collection of a lot of people's thought process and ideas and decisions as a whole that is like having an impact, not just say a bad impact, but some impact that can, you know, steer the progression of technology or the progression of people towards the, you know, future in a different way. So we just want to have an objective, you know, way of looking at things.
Basically, no. If the times were good, there is going to be no complaining. There is just going to be enjoying. But the times are bad. You all have to listen to it and act accordingly. So
right.
that we want the times to be good. We do
right.
not want to hurt anybody. We do not.
Right,
we
right.
just want to have good times.
A better future for everybody.
Yes.
Right. So yeah. So that was pretty much it. And this topic is much needed right now because like a lot of things that we do are directly in relationship to what a lot of people in the highest power are controlling. And yeah, we just wanted to have a quick, you know, thought process on the same. And hope you had a wonderful, you know, a snapshot of what this was all about. Thank you so much. And we'll come again with another interesting episode. Until then, this is Guhan and Ram Kesavan signing off. Bye-bye.
Reach Skyline. Embrace Digital.